You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It's not a question of having a Lord in your life. The question is, who is Lord? Whose authority do you really recognize?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, our Father in heaven, help us to believe and accept the Lordship of your Son, Jesus Christ, that in humility of spirit and courage of heart, we may fear you and fear no man, and serving you in love may be freed from the slavery of sin and selfishness. Gracious God, we pray to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord. Christian people have been saying that ever since Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Christians say it today because Jesus Christ is alive. It's not that he is alive because Christian people believe in him. They are believers because he is alive. This is the apostolic witness to Jesus Christ. You find it everywhere in the New Testament. A classic example of the apostolic witness to Jesus Christ is the second chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, talking to Christian people and counseling them to be humble rather than haughty because Jesus Christ is alive and is Lord. St. Paul said, "Have this mind among yourselves which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The word Lord sounds a little strange to many people today. Lords and ladies, as members of the nobility used to be called, are pretty much a thing of the past. At least the old aura is gone, and some lords and their ladies guide tourists through their castles for a fee in order to make ends meet. The title Lord in the New Testament had a lordly ring to it. It was a term of respect given to people worthy of respect. Spanish-speaking people call the Lord Señor, a term of respect for any man who is worthy of respect. German-speaking people call the Lord Der Herr, a title of respect for any man worthy of respect is called Herr. In the day of the common man, it's still appropriate to call Jesus Christ Lord, even if no one else should be recognized anymore as Lord, controlling the lives of other people. Jesus Christ is still Lord. It is an irony of history that the very people who refuse to recognize him as Lord or to acknowledge him as the Son of God surround themselves with lords and gods all over the place. rejecting the authority of God over their own lives. They give those lives over to all kinds of authority, backed only by tradition, or even worse, by the pressures and passions of the moment. A familiar moniker given to some people is that they are independently wealthy. There's a certain power in wealth, especially when people regard money or possessions as the source of all power. It can be safely said that the most despotic and destructive periods of human history have been those where power has been concentrated in the hands of the wealthy just because they are wealthy. In modern times, the worship of wealth has extended to large concentrations of financial power centered in groups of people, like corporations and labor unions in the private sector, or organs of government in the public sector. Managers of corporations and leaders of labor unions who may have worked their way up from the bottom, or political figures elected to public office, have come to receive the adulation once given only to those who were born into noble families. The possibilities of corruption in this new nobility are just as great, the world has found out, as they were in the days of the old nobility. People who pride themselves on their freedom and independence, insisting that they are indebted or obligated to no one, submit to lords and masters with almost slavish submission, doing their own thing, which is very popular these days. People yield to pressures of pride and passion and prejudice which absolutely govern their lives. Recognizing no master at all, they are slaves to every opportunist who comes along. Having no allegiance to any lord, they become the playthings of the most capricious authority the world has ever seen. Instead of being masters of their own fate, they become victims of their own slogans. If it feels good, go ahead and do it. Success is the best policy. Nothing succeeds like success. Or even the more ancient, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. No lordship is more persuasive, and no despotism more tyrannical than the chaos where there is no authority and people can do just as they please. No lordship demands such absolute and unquestioning obedience as the rule of the devil, which recognizes any authority at all except the authority of God. In that kind of regime, people boast that they are lords unto themselves. They are actually slaves of their most destructive desires. The end of that road is chaos, and the ruler of that realm is the prince of darkness himself. To tell you the truth, said Jesus Christ, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. That's lordship with a vengeance. It's the lordship of selfishness, envy, hatefulness, slander, adultery, pornography, violence, theft, lying, and murder. It's the lordship of everything that detracts from honesty and decency. It's the lordship of anything that glorifies brutality and degradation, of everything that destroys decency and honor in human life. It's not a question, my friend, whether you have a lord in your life or not. The only question is, who is lord in your life? Whose authority do you really recognize? Writing to the first Christian congregation of what is now Europe, the Apostle Paul proclaimed a great fact. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord whether you recognize him or not. If you don't recognize him now, the day will come when you will have to acknowledge that he is the Lord. On that great day, when he returns to judge the world, every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. If that is true, it is a terrifying fact. All the other lordships, no matter how pervasive their influence, will go by the board on that day. The day will come like a thief in the night, as Jesus Christ said. But his coming will not be a secret when he comes. All flesh shall see him, the Son of Man, returning and surrounded by the armies of his angels. People everywhere will see the terror of the Lord. That's what Christ's men heard from him, and that's what they have told to us. We have it from his own lips and from the clear and straightforward testimony of his own men who knew him and talked with him. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord, and he will be Lord, whether you believe in him or not. He has been declared to be Lord of all by resurrection from the dead. A remarkable thing about the apostolic witness to the second coming of the Lord is that he himself told his people about his return to judge the world in order to give them comfort. In that day, their faith in him will be vindicated, he said. They may suffer all kinds of things now, but things will be reversed on that day. You shall be sorrowful, he said, and the world will rejoice, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. The guarantee of joy for people who believe in him is his lordship. The ground of their faith in him is his lordship. The glory of their love for him is his lordship. The grace which gives them the courage to love where others hate comes from his lordship. Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of all, Lord of heaven and earth, Lord even of the gods and the lords the world venerates and worships. Jesus Christ came into his lordship by a remarkable route. It was by way of a cross. He was God in every way. He always had the nature of God. He did not have to force his way into the Godhead. Of his own free will, he gave up the privilege of his deity and took the nature of a servant. He became like a man and appeared in human likeness. He was a man, humble and walking in the path of obedience, all the way to death, and that a death on a cross. It was for this reason that God raised him to the highest place of everything that is or ever will be, and gave him the name which is above every name. In honor of the name of Jesus, everything and everyone in heaven and on earth, and also in the world below, someday will fall on their knees, and all will have to proclaim openly, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The Son of God always was Lord, in all humility, in all the qualities of his humanity, having the whole nature of God. He took for himself the nature of our humanity, and in his humility was obedient to death for all of us who go our own way in disobedience. He died our death. That death of his was an agonizing and shameful death. It's the reverse of everything you would expect of God. But he did it for all of us. And for all of that, his Father gave him a name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. In his obedience to his Father, Jesus Christ reversed all of human history. He provided a way of access to the Father through his own body broken on that cross of his. Adam, the first man, did count equality with God something to be snatched at. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, snatched at nothing. He took everything, including the disobedience and the waywardness and the willfulness and the rebellion, into his own heart. With the first Adam came death, and with the second Adam came life. In obedience, he died, and in glory he was raised from the dead. He's the Son of God with power. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord. He rules over all that is. He's the owner of all. He has everything in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. His authority cannot be questioned. It can be ignored or rejected, but it cannot be questioned. To recognize Jesus Christ as Lord is to have faith in him. To accept his lordship is to receive his forgiveness with thanksgiving. To acknowledge his lordship is to become a member of his family. Being a member of his family does not make you a lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. His people are made perfect because he looks upon them as if they have never sinned at all. That does not mean that they are perfect people who never sin again. We do sin often, said Martin Luther, who was a great follower of the Lord. But the rule and reign of sin as the controlling force in life has been broken. Sin has been overcome, its guilt has been removed, and its power has been decimated. That's the way the grace of God works in the lives of people who say, with an honest and good heart, Jesus Christ is Lord. The pledge of allegiance which Christian people give to Jesus Christ is simply this: Jesus Christ is Lord. The ultimate loyalty, above all other loyalties, is to Jesus Christ. They believe and recognize his authority. His authority alone. Nobody else can take his place, no matter who he is. Believers have a priority to serve the Lord. Everything else takes second place to that. Jesus Christ comes first. He is Lord. Jesus Christ calls all people to genuine humility, not slavish submission, but humble obedience to his Lordship. Let this mind be in you, said St. Paul, that you have in Christ Jesus. By his humility and obedience, he atoned for the sins of the world with his magnificent and sacrificial death. By resurrection from the dead, he was declared to be the Lord of all. Follow him in genuine humility. Jesus Christ calls his people to divest themselves of the old pride and prejudice and passion. He demands of them that they abandon the violence and vanity that characterize life in the world. Believers in Christ are to be in the world, but not of the world. They are not to fear all the lordships that other people fear, but to fear God and serve one another. They are to fear God and be a slave to no man. The lordship of Jesus Christ makes his church a missionary enterprise. Wherever the church is really the church, it is always concentrating all its energy on bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to people everywhere. It has no other purpose. This is its mission. Jesus Christ is Lord, and every true follower of his is a missionary. Don't be surprised, therefore, my friend, if some Christian asks you one of these days whether you know that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's not trying to take you in or deceive you or to get something for himself. He's offering to escort you as a friend and brother along the pathway of life so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christian friend of yours does not think that he is any better than you are. He knows and believes in one who is better than any of us. Jesus Christ is Lord. Who is Lord? Who's really Lord? Jesus Christ is Lord. He died for you. Because of that, God has given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue, including yours, might confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.